This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar, together with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. All right, turning our attention to other big news from last week and over the weekend, Grab Holdings grabbed headlines on Thursday last week when it debuted on the NASDAQ via a SPAC, or Special Purpose Acquisition Vehicle. Southeast Asia's largest ride-hailing and delivery company opened at $13.06, but the shares took a tumble shortly after, sliding 21% down to just over $8.60. As of close of market Friday, the shares were still in the red at $8.99.
But the biggest U.S. listing by a Southeast Asian company raised $4.5 billion. Founder Anthony Tan said, "What Grab has done shows the world that homegrown tech companies can develop great technology that can compete globally, even when international players are in town. But while what they have achieved so far has been no easy task, the fact remains that Grab is a loss-making company. Does it have what it takes to go the distance moving forward? And what does the share price actually tell us about the value of Grab?"
So sharing his thoughts with us this morning on Grab's IPO is business commentator Pankaj C. Kumar. Pankaj, good morning. Happy Monday. So let's talk about Grab. Shortly after their debut, Grab slid 21% after opening at over $13. Was the pricing a little too rich for a loss-making company?
Morning, Shazana, Xiaoning, and Philippe, and thank you for having me on the show. I don't think the initial reaction of the market after the official listing is an indication whether it was too rich for a loss-making company. After all, the $40 billion price tag was well established when Grab announced its plan for listing via the SPAC route in April, and hence investors were well aware what Grab was valued at. Having said that, I must say that I was taken by surprise when the deal was first announced at that point in time. Because as we know, before the SPAC deal, Grab was actually valued somewhere between $14 to $15 billion. Mm. So effectively, the price has more than, you know, doubled. So for sudden jump in valuation with the SPAC deal was kind of far-fetched for me, if you ask me. On the first day of listing, of course, the share price did pop first before profit-taking set in. Perhaps to make it worse was when the third quarter report card was actually released, which actually showed that the company's both top line and bottom line were down by 9 and 59% respectively.
So what do you think is the real gem of Grab's business? I mean, how do you value it? Is it the technology, customer data that allows them to cross-sell multiple services and products? I mean, how do you assign a value though?
Yeah, I think it's a good question, because I think if you look at technology companies like Grab and all these ride-hailing companies, of course, data is indeed king, yeah? And ability to introduce new products to the same ecosystem that you're targeting and duplicating it in multiple markets is definitely their game plan. Yeah. So what started out as a taxi service has now moved on to so many new products and services for its customers. If you look at their core business, of course, that remains within the delivery space and mobility segment. But offering of other services do provide it Grab an opportunity to grow. And I think this the one that market perhaps is most excited is the financial services space, where Grab has obtained a digital bank license in Singapore. So this is expected to launch next year. And of course, I think recently, Grab has also made inroads into Indonesia, yeah, where they have raised their ownership in one of the Indonesia's e-wallet leading service provider, OVO. So as you look at it, in terms of what they are doing, they are basically expanding in markets within Southeast Asia itself, but products. Yeah, so while the market is still there, the ability to introduce new services is the one that drives the numbers.
So what will drive Grab towards profitability? Because the goal is 2023. What is that route? Is it really financial instruments and products then?
Personally, I don't see it happening in 2023. I think it's going to take them longer. And even then, we're only talking about EBITDA positive. Yeah? To have bottom line positive will be at least another 2 to 3 years after EBITDA positive is achieved. If you look at the first 9 months results of this year, they actually recorded a loss, EBITDA loss of about, let me look at my number, it's actually about $537 million in terms of adjusted EBITDA loss. And their net loss was almost $2.5 billion. So if you look at it, it's going to take some time, yeah, before they come back. And I think if I remember when they did the SPAC deal, the assumption was that by 2023, Grab would be EBITDA positive by about $0.5 billion. So, and this year they're supposed to be negative $0.6 billion. But even in the first 9 months of this year, they've already almost at $0.6 billion. Yeah, so you can see that earnings has been rather perhaps disappointing.
Yeah, but that's the trillion-dollar question for them, right, Pankaj? Because now they are publicly listed. They're no longer private. So, you know, details of their financials will be available to all. So do you expect Grab's share price to be very volatile? Is that going to be one of their major challenges?
I think once you are a PLC, of course, it's a different ballgame altogether, as investors will be watching you like a hawk eye, yeah, in terms of your results delivery every quarter. I mean, you have seen it. Perhaps in companies like Uber or Lyft, yeah, where investors will react to their quarterly performance. So Grab has, of course, made a lot of projections. If you look at their assumption in terms of gross merchandise revenue, yeah, GMR, that is expected to grow like 40% compounded annual growth rate. Yeah, and adjusted revenue to jump like 42% compounded annual growth rate. Yeah, so all these are huge numbers, yeah, when you look at expectations. So question is whether you're going to be able to beat that expectation is going to be challenging. So obviously, market is all about, you know, meeting that expectation. So if Grab is able to meet or exceed, then obviously the share price will be reflective of that. And if they don't, then share price will be under pressure.
Pankaj, looking at the broader picture, what does Grab's listing mean for other Southeast Asian tech companies?
Well, I think the message that Grab tells the rest of Southeast Asian tech companies is basically the world is your oasis. Yeah? Grab is indeed following the path of other successful tech companies. I think even if you look at in the space of Southeast Asia, you have Sea Limited, which has been very successful as well. Yeah, and of course, it also shows that the region is not short of unicorn status companies that are ready for public offering. In fact, to me, due to the restricted listing rules among most of the ASEAN bourses, I foresee more ASEAN tech companies will actually be looking at listing in the US market.
So do you expect this to be a very crowded space in Asia? Because you see GoTo also trying to get listed. Everyone wants to be unicorn. So everyone wants to enter this space. Do you expect this to be a very crowded space, eroding margin then?
I don't think so. It's going to be a crowded space in that sense. In the business perspective, yes, there are competitions coming into various offering, whether especially coming from these startups. But at the end of it, it's actually innovation, yeah, that actually differentiates one startup compared to another.
Pankaj, thanks so much for speaking with us this morning. That was business commentator Pankaj C. Kumar giving his take on what Grab's IPO means and the challenges that this company will face as it tries to reach profitability by 2023. Pankaj isn't so optimistic on that timeline, but only time will tell.
Yeah, but some interesting news just popped up on Bloomberg. JP Morgan has initiated coverage on this stock and they've got a price target of 12.50 US. So it implies a 39 increase from the last price of $8.99. So market is still, yeah, pretty excited about this stock, despite the fact that it's not going to be profitable, EBITDA profitable.
It's the growth, right? It's the promise growth of that 40-50% growth per annum that I think analysts say, perhaps that's possible in a very fast moving market and growing economy.
I mean, Southeast Asia's internet economy is forecast to double to $360 billion in gross merchandise value by 2025. So there is a huge market for this. There's huge potential, but whether that potential will actually be realized into profit, I mean, that's the billion dollar question.
Trillion dollar, almost. But, you know, every time you mention Grab, people always say they started in Malaysia, but now they're technically a Singaporean company.
Yeah.
So, of course, the question is, how do we attract Malaysian unicorns to remain Malaysian unicorns? And, you know, stay here. You can list anywhere, I think. You know, why not? It's a global market. But where is the center? Where is, what kind of, you know, where are you going to make, which country are you going to choose?
Yeah, it's very funny because I was scrolling through LinkedIn over the weekend, right, over the Grab listing. There were so many congratulatory messages, equally from Singapore government partners as well as Malaysian partners. But the Malaysian partners were like reminiscing about us giving them that break, essentially, right? So it's very interesting. But I do think Grab is quite resilient. And you know the advantage of the data, it's not only the data, it's a distribution model which can easily toggle between right hailing and also food delivery. That I think makes it quite a compelling
proposition.
It's the
super app, right?
It is truly the
super
app.
So what are you buying? Are you buying a super app? Perhaps. Maybe that's why JP Morgan gave it a, you know, such a high valuation.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.